Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. Spirit Airlines' liquidation just triggered the biggest capacity exit in U.S. aviation since 9/11, while American Airlines raised nearly $2 billion in seven-year capital, and the market is repricing who survives versus who doesn't.
Right, and it's not just Spirit. We're seeing a global wave of bankruptcies hitting the smaller carriers while the majors are actually rallying. United up 15%, Alaska up 11%, Delta up 8%.
This week's narrative was a structural bifurcation in aviation. Elevated fuel costs and tight credit markets are eliminating weaker operators while creating consolidation value for survivors. Operationally, this means reduced low-fare competition and improved pricing power for remaining carriers. For investors, it's a balance sheet differentiation story where access to capital determines who makes it through this cycle.
The most important signal this week came from Americans' debt refinancing. Nearly $2 billion in seven-year term loans at what looks like reasonable rates, while Spirit couldn't even make its restructuring work. Operationally, this shows the majors can still access growth capital, while the ultra-low-cost model is breaking under current fuel prices. For investors, it confirms that credit quality is the primary screening mechanism in this environment.
Let's look at how this played out in the numbers. TSA screened 12.8 million passengers this week, up 1.9% year over year and 0.9% above the three-year average. So demand is holding steady, which makes the capacity exit even more significant.
The airline moves tell the story perfectly. United led the majors with that 15% gain to $114.80. Alaska followed at 11+% to $46.02. Delta up 8% to $82.48.
What's striking is these aren't momentum moves. These are repricing moves. The market is recognizing that when Spirit takes 500 daily flights out of the system permanently, the remaining carriers inherit that capacity at higher yields.
And it's not just the majors. Frontier jumped 22% to $6.05. Allegiant up 14% to $91.61. The surviving ultra-low-cost carriers are getting the biggest pop.
That makes sense operationally. Frontier and Allegiant have better balance sheets than Spirit did, and they're immediately picking up market share in the leisure segments where Spirit was competing most aggressively.
The engines and manufacturers are participating too. GE up nearly 7% to $323.76. Boeing up 5.5% despite all the China delivery issues we saw in the news.
Boeing's move is interesting because the 737 MAX production rate clearance came through this week. They're approved to ramp from 47 to 63 aircraft per month. That's addressing the supply bottleneck that's been constraining capacity growth.
Right. So you've got this perfect storm for pricing. Demand is stable, supply is contracting from the bankruptcies, and new aircraft production is still catching up. The remaining carriers are in a sweet spot.
The cargo names participated too. UPS up 5.6%, FedEx up 4.4%. Even with jet fuel still elevated, they're benefiting from the same capacity dynamics in freight.
But here's what matters more than these individual moves. The market is clearly distinguishing between operators with access to capital and those without. American can raise nearly $2 billion for 7 years, while Spirit couldn't restructure $7.4 billion down to $2.1 billion.
The more important signal is that we're watching real-time Darwinian selection in aviation. This isn't a cyclical downturn where everyone gets hit equally. This is structural elimination of the weakest players. The second signal worth tracking is what's happening in the defense sector. And it's not just about traditional contracts. Kratos jumped 14% to $64.13. And while our data doesn't confirm the specific driver, the timing coincides with broader momentum in autonomous defense systems.
Wait, hold on. 14% is a massive move for a defense stock. That's not normal sector rotation. Something specific drove that.
That's exactly my point. The data doesn't give us the confirmed catalyst, which tells us we're seeing either anticipatory positioning or information that hasn't fully surfaced yet. But the broader context is clear. We had Merlin Labs securing a $100 million-plus USAF contract for AI pilot technology this week.
Merlin's not in our tracked universe, but that contract validates the whole autonomous flight thesis. If the Air Force is betting over $100 million on AI pilots for C-130 cargo planes, that's not experimental money. That's deployment money.
Exactly. And when you look at Kratos' business model, unmanned systems, drone technology, tactical missiles, they're positioned right in the sweet spot of where defense spending is flowing. The market might be pricing in contract flow that we haven't seen in filings yet.
But here's what bothers me about that 14% move. It came with no volume surge that I could track. Usually when defense stocks move on contract news, you see institutional flow. This felt more like positioning ahead of something.
Which brings us back to the structural theme. Just like we're seeing consolidation in commercial aviation, the defense industrial base is consolidating around technology leaders, autonomous systems, AI-augmented platforms, hypersonic capabilities. These aren't nice-to-have technologies anymore.
Look at the other defense names, though. Northrop up less than 2%, L3Harris up barely 1%, Lockheed actually down 0.5%. If this was broad defense momentum, we'd see sector-wide moves.
That's the differentiation story. Northrop and L3Harris are massive systems integrators. They benefit from sustained high defense spending. But Kratos is pure-play next-generation technology. When the market is pricing disruption, the pure plays get the premium.
Fair point. And we did see Raytheon and Northrop win that DARPA Phase 2 contract for composable solid rocket motors. That's the kind of dual-use technology that translates to both defense and eventual commercial applications.
Right, but Raytheon barely moved, up 1.5%. The market is distinguishing between companies that win incremental contracts and companies that are positioned for paradigm shifts.
So what's your read on Kratos specifically? Are we looking at a fundamental re-rating or just momentum chasing?
Without confirmed data on the driver, I have to treat it as a price observation. But structurally, Kratos fits the pattern we're seeing across aviation. Companies with differentiated technology and strong balance sheets are getting repriced upward while traditional players are getting left behind.
That makes sense. The same way American can access $2 billion in capital while Spirit liquidates, Kratos can capture next-generation defense contracts while traditional contractors fight over legacy programs.
The third signal is in the manufacturing and supply chain space, and this one's more nuanced. Boeing moved 5.5% despite China halting deliveries, while the component suppliers had mixed results.
That Boeing move surprised me. China news is usually an immediate hit to Boeing shares. The fact that it rallied suggests the market is pricing something else.
The 737 MAX production rate clearance. Boeing confirmed they're approved to ramp from 47 aircraft per month to 63. That's a 34% production increase, which directly addresses the delivery bottleneck that's been constraining airline capacity expansion.
But wait, if China's halting deliveries, doesn't that create a demand hole that offsets the production increase?
Here's where it gets interesting. The China delivery halt affects existing orders, but it doesn't change the fundamental supply-demand imbalance in aircraft. When Spirit liquidates and takes 214 aircraft out of the active fleet, the remaining carriers need replacement capacity.
So Boeing benefits from both sides: reduced competition from Chinese carriers who can't take delivery, and increased demand from US carriers who need to replace Spirit's capacity.
Exactly. Plus, the production rate increase signals that Boeing's manufacturing issues are behind them. Remember, they've been operating under FAA production constraints since the MAX issues. Getting cleared for higher rates is a regulatory confidence vote.
The component suppliers tell a more complex story, though. HECO up 15.6%. That's massive for an aerospace parts company.
HEICO's move is the most interesting because it's pure aftermarket exposure. When airlines are operating older fleets longer due to delivery delays, aftermarket parts demand surges. HEICO benefits from every airline that defers new aircraft purchases.
And we're definitely seeing fleet age extend. If Boeing and Airbus can't deliver fast enough to replace retired capacity, airlines have to keep older aircraft flying longer.
Right, but look at the other suppliers. Hexcel up 4%, Howmet barely up at all. The market is differentiating between companies that benefit from higher aircraft production and companies that benefit from fleet utilization stress.
Hexcel makes composite materials. They should benefit from higher 737 production. 4% seems light if Boeing's really ramping 34%.
That's because Hexcel has exposure to both Boeing and Airbus, and Airbus production wasn't the story this week. Plus, composite materials are a smaller percentage of 737 content compared to wide-body aircraft where Hexcel is stronger.
What about Honeywell? Up 4.3%. They're in everything. Engines, avionics, cabin systems.
Honeywell benefits from the whole ecosystem. Higher aircraft production, older fleets flying longer, increased maintenance cycles. But 4% is about what you'd expect for a diversified industrial with significant aviation exposure.
So the manufacturing signal is really about supply chain positioning rather than just production volume.
Exactly. The companies that benefit from aircraft scarcity, like HEICO in aftermarket parts, are getting bigger premiums than companies that benefit from aircraft production increases. The market is pricing extended delivery timelines as the base case.
That fits with the broader theme. Whether it's airlines, defense contractors, or suppliers, the market is rewarding companies that benefit from scarcity and constraint rather than abundance and competition.
Which brings us back to the structural story. This isn't a temporary disruption where everything goes back to normal. The market is pricing permanent changes in industry structure. Fewer airlines, extended aircraft delivery times, higher maintenance requirements.
So here's where I want to push back on the structural story. Are we looking at permanent industry consolidation, or are we just seeing cyclical stress that creates temporary opportunities?
That's the key question. The capacity exit feels permanent. Spirit's liquidation isn't a restructuring where they come back smaller. That's 500 daily flights and 214 aircraft completely removed from the system.
But Spirit's assets don't just disappear. Those aircraft get sold, pilots get hired by other carriers, gates get reassigned, the capacity comes back in different hands.
Not necessarily. Spirit's aircraft are mostly older A320 family jets that were already stressed by high fuel costs. If jet fuel stays elevated, those planes might get retired rather than transferred to new operators.
Or they get deployed in markets where fuel efficiency matters less, like cargo conversion or international routes where higher density justifies the fuel burn.
Is this cyclical positioning or structural differentiation? Because American accessing nearly $2 billion in seven-year capital while Spirit liquidates suggests this is about fundamental credit quality, not temporary fuel price shocks.
I think you're right on the credit access point, but wrong on the permanence. Fuel prices are cyclical. They always have been. When fuel comes down, the ultra-low-cost model becomes viable again, and new entrants will emerge.
Except fuel isn't the only factor. Labor costs have reset higher post-COVID, airport capacity is constrained, and regulatory compliance costs keep rising. The barriers to entry for new low-cost carriers are structurally higher now.
Fair, but look at Frontier up 22% and Allegiant up 14%. If the ultra-low-cost model was fundamentally broken, those stocks wouldn't be leading the rally.
They're rallying precisely because they're survivors in a consolidating industry. With Spirit out, Frontier and Allegiant inherit market share without adding capacity. That's pricing power, not a vote of confidence in the ULCC model.
So the base case is permanent industry consolidation with improved pricing power for survivors, but the key risk is that we're overestimating the structural changes and underestimating cyclical recovery potential.
Looking at the week ahead, there are four key signals that will confirm or contradict this consolidation narrative. Watch American Airlines capacity guidance on their investor call, because it will confirm whether survivors are adding flights to capture Spirit's routes or maintaining discipline for pricing power.
Watch Frontier and Allegiant's load factor and yield data in June preliminary traffic numbers, because it will show whether the ultra-low-cost survivors are actually capturing Spirit's passengers, or if that demand is disappearing.
Watch Boeing's June delivery numbers when they report monthly production, because it will confirm whether the 737 MAX production increase is real operational capacity or just regulatory permission.
And watch any announcements from lessors about Spirit's aircraft disposition, because it will tell us whether that capacity gets recycled into the market or permanently retired.
This week, the market repriced aviation around a structural consolidation thesis. Spirit's liquidation removed significant low-fare capacity permanently, while American's access to nearly $2 billion in seven-year capital demonstrated the balance sheet differentiation between survivors and casualties.
The management behavior confirmed it. American chose to refinance and extend maturities rather than pay down debt, signaling confidence in sustained demand. Meanwhile, Spirit couldn't even make a restructured balance sheet work, with $7.4 billion reduced to $2.1 billion.
What to watch next? Whether the surviving carriers prioritize market share capture or pricing discipline, and whether Spirit's aircraft assets get recycled or retired. The consolidation thesis depends on capacity staying out of the system, not just changing hands.
The base case is permanent industry consolidation with improved profitability for survivors. The risk is that we're overestimating structural change and underestimating cyclical recovery as fuel costs normalize. But for now, the market is betting on Darwin.
Aviation Intelligence Weekly is for informational purposes only and does not constitute investment advice. Past performance does not guarantee future results. We may hold positions in discussed securities.
Do your own research, consult your financial advisor, and remember that aviation stocks can be volatile. We'll see you next week.
Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. Want the inside track on aviation's biggest players? Aviation Intelligence Weekly brings you expert analysis of airline earnings, breaking industry news, and deep dive company histories. From American Airlines to Boeing, we cover the business of flight every week. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.